Jam! Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. I am Chewy, and am I live, or am I Memorex?
Are you human, or are you Dancer?
I don't know that reference.
It's a weird song.
Oh. Is that like Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza? I mean, Tiny Dancer?
I mean, except the line actually is, are we human or are we Dancer? It doesn't make any sense in any context.
Is it a Beatles song?
No, that would make sense in the Beatles context.
Okay, fair enough. Now you have to tell me what song this is. By the way, I'm joined by Squee this week.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to find out what song that is. Because I remember the most used lines in songs way more than their actual name.
Nice. Clues right. Is sadly not with us because he is underwater in a small Caribbean island.
Yep, so the song is called Human, oddly enough.
Oh. Who does this song?
The Killers.
Okay, that actually makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah.
Because I am Mr. Brightside. So, this is the first week of the new Hour of Devastation standard. And to kick it off, we have some pretty big news about how they're changing in-store play.
Everything is different.
Everything is terrible. Everybody quit Magic. The end of Magic as we know it.
All over. Play new game now. Hey, Chewy.
Hey.
Let's go play Overpowered.
Ooh. I was going to say Legend of the Five Rings, but I can still make that.
Yeah, I had to think of something that was old and not in circulation.
And not still around, yeah. We could play Duel Masters. Ha! Aw, now I'm sad again.
Kaijudo.
So, right, they're not making Kaijudo anymore, right?
I don't know.
I don't think
so. Do I look
so.
Like I buy WotC products?
So, in the article that went up on Sunday, in-store play evolves. Dun, dun, dun. They said, several months ago that they're going to be making changes. And so now they're making changes, and people are like, okay, so first off, you know how there's game day?
Yeah.
You know how only like 6 people show up to game day?
I've been to a lot of them that didn't fire.
Yeah. Mike has too. I don't
go
to
them. So I stopped going. It feeds its own problem.
Exactly. Well, they're getting rid of game day. Okay. They say we're moving game day and changing everything about it. So they're getting rid of game day.
Yeah, that's like saying that we didn't fire you. We eliminated your position and now you work outside in the parking lot and we don't pay you.
Exactly. So they're getting rid of game day and introducing a new thing called the Store Championship. So each week they're doing Standard Showdown. You know, that's a thing that they've been doing for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Store Championship is at the end of each season. And a season is, you know, a set's lifespan. Like it always has been.
Yep, 3 months.
Yeah. So, Truth. Yeah.
Well, I say 3 months. It'll be interesting to see how that interacts with the new kind of core set thing, because they don't want to treat those as being big sets.
Very true.
We'll deal with that next summer.
Yeah, we don't care about that right now.
Yeah.
So the Store Championship is at the end of the season, and you get foil full art promo cards that look at the next set, which I guess means they're foil full out promo cards from the next set. I don't know why it says that look at the next set. That's weird wording, but
I mean,
whatever.
Unless it's like, here's another one of those cards that has cool art that alludes to an event that hasn't happened yet, but I don't think that's going to be the case. That doesn't sound sustainable.
Yeah.
Way more likely, it's just going to be cards that we're already printing have some.
Yeah. So yeah, instead of neat game day participation, full art things in foil, full art, top 8, whatever things, and the winner gets a playmat, well, now you get foil, full art promo cards for being there, and you get, if you win, you get the playmat and program exclusive deck boxes and stuff like that.
Yay.
Now, the one thing I've seen a problem with this, this particular part of this announcement, the Store Championships begin with Ixalan and will be held on December 30th and 31st.
Yay!
So the last 2 days of the year in the holiday season, That's right smack between two fairly big holidays, at least in the U.S. You know, Christmas is December 25th. You know what people
do on December 31st? They don't go play Magic.
Well, I mean, some of them do.
Yeah. It's not when I would want to run it, but.
So, yeah. But you get promo items that will showcase Rivals of Ixalan. There they go. They say showcasing Rivals of Ixalan. I wonder what that's about.
I don't know, but I'm going to be interested in seeing how many game stores are open on December 31st, because a lot of them don't.
Well, that means they'll run it on the 30th, I guess. So let's see.
Presumably.
That's Saturday and Sunday. Okay, that makes sense. So, yeah, there we go. That's a thing. That's cool. Yay, no more game day that nobody goes to. Now, if game day is a big thing where you are, that's awesome. Hopefully that means the store championships will be a big thing where you are. Around here, nobody goes to game day, like, at all. It's terrible.
Yeah, I wasn't being sarcastic when I said that I've been to several game days that did not fire because they didn't get to 8 people.
Yeah, Mike has, and I wasn't kidding when I said Mike has been to several. I was like, dude, it was game day. He's like, didn't happen. What? Lame. But then there are some times where the game day fires on Saturday and Sunday, which is weird to me.
Yeah, that is 2 days.
Yeah. So, okay, next up is the biggie. They're evolving Friday Night Magic. Except that's a Hearthstone term. So they're transforming Friday Night Magic. No, wait, that's not a Hearthstone term. That's adapt. Excuse me. I'm dumb. Evolve is a card. Whoops. Anyway, okay, so two changes. First, FNM seasons now align with set releases. So, all right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's, I don't know why that hadn't happened before. So that's fine. And then the big news that people are losing their mind over. The FNM promos, a thing that Magic players have been bitching and moaning about for literally years.
You can hear the volume emphasis in that statement.
Oh my god. Magic players have been complaining about FNM promos are so bad. You remember when they used to be good? And when they were good, they were like, all this does is make these harder to find and harder to get. Meh. And now, so Wizards is like, well, we're not doing foil promos anymore. We're doing foil double-sided tokens. And Magic players are like, what? You can't take away FNM promos. What am I going to bitch about?
I believe you. Nerds will find a way.
Yeah. If ever there's anything convenient, they will find the downside of it.
So I've been going to Friday Night Magic less lately, but like I've been going to Friday Night Magic since Lorwyn Block. And even back then, the FNM promos were largely irrelevant because they had to commission these cards to have alternate art way before they know what's actually going to see play. And they also tend to alternate which formats they're covering each time too. Like there was a period of time when they were like, well, here's the standard month. And then there's the extended month. Cause that's what we had then. Here's the standard month and here's the legacy month. And you never really knew what to expect out of those things. They'd announce it and be like, oh, hey, there's a card no one plays, but now I can get a different art one. Versus the occasions when they actually put a really good card up, and then people really want them, but what it meant was that the people at your FNM who are really good got all of them. And that kind of goes against what I think they wanted Friday Night Magic to be. I think they wanted to be the relatively chill place to go and play Magic with people in your community, not something that has heavy-duty, hardcore prizes on the line to make people play Sharky. They have tournaments for that.
Yeah. I have no response to that.
Yeah. Like, that's what it has been for as long as I've been playing Magic. So I'm okay with this change, and pretty much entirely, because whether or not I will utilize the promo cards that I get in an FNM, I will totally carry around, you know, tokens, because I use those when I draft.
Yeah.
And that's just neat. And you can use tokens in future sets when they still line up, which is nice also.
Like, yeah.
Do you remember the Hell Vault tokens?
The what?
The Hell Vault tokens?
No.
They're an angel on one side and a demon on the other.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really cool. And everyone's like, these are awesome. I wish these happened all the time. Well.
Well, there you go.
Do that.
So there's been serious blowback on this because it's change and Magic nerds hate change.
That was proven by science as well.
Yeah. Now, and you might think, man, Chewie just wants to bash all those Magic players. No, I want all you Magic players whose initial response is to get on the internet and bitch and moan to use your brains. That is my whole point here. I want you all to calm down and think for a minute. So, who really cares about F&M promos? I got nothing. There's nobody that I know personally who is like, oh my god, I want to get all the F&M promos, other than some weird collector maybe that's out there. But now
it's not hard to get F&M promos if that's what you want in life.
Yeah, because most of them are vaguely worthless, and the ones that aren't are not worthless, but, you know, that balances it out, I guess.
Like, I mean, if you're a Magic collector, you're used to spending too much money on cards. Exactly. Here's a case where your store is going to have like 30 or 40 of them running around over the course of a month the normal way. So you are never going to have that much trouble getting them.
That number seems a bit high.
Well, once upon a time, they would just do four a week. But then they upped the number that they gave to stores and gave them, you know, the freedom to decide how they wanted to use them.
Oh, okay.
Like, that happened a year or two or whatever ago. To the point where, like, I know that when I used to go, it would be like first and second would get them, and then most stores tended to raffle off the other two so that people who, you know, lost out early could stick around and still have a shot at something. But over time, they just started giving them more. Like, I think they started tying them to the store level rather than just a flat for a person. Also, F&M promos had the weird thing going for a while where some months have five Fridays and some have four, and that actually mattered.
Yeah.
So this is getting away from a lot of that since they're going by season instead, too. So, hey, if you are into awesome tokens, here's your chance to get them. If you're into uncommons from the current set, think you can find those. It'll be okay.
But yeah, there's so many F&M promos over the years. And I mean, all of the years since I started playing again in Onslaught, F&M promos have been a constant source of contention. With only a few highlights here and there. You know, like Fatal Push. Everyone's like, oh my god, that's amazing. That is amazing. It's because it's like a $10 or $15 freaking uncommon that's current. That's insane. So,
which is the real problem.
Yeah. So getting a fancy one of those is like getting money. And that's cool. But the problem is, now, there are a few responses to this. In today's, the July 17th daily update, Blake actually talks about this. Let's see here. Where is it? Okay, so people keep saying, we just want relevant playable F&M promos. Except that when they look at the data from months where there were relevant playable F&M promos and months where there weren't, there's no difference in attendance. So it's not like more people are going when there's Fatal Pushes. So,
yeah,
if there's a crap nonsense, like, card that's legal in Modern but not seeing play, or if there's a very relevant in all the formats, there's no difference.
Yeah, it's a fun add-on. So,
yeah, it's a fun add-on. And much like when the player, what was it, player rewards?
The player rewards cards, yeah, that they would mail out to you at intervals.
Yeah, when those were taken away, people were like, man, they just taking stuff away and not giving anything back. Well, it turns out those resources went to various other things, and yeah. I'm sure that was a large pain.
Yeah, those are really cool, but it was really impractical to just send out that much postage.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not a sustainable system as your game gets more popular.
And I used to get them, and I literally only did pre-releases, and I would still get a mailing every time. As little as I played Magic back then, like in the DCI system, they still had to mail me something. That's unreal. That means the number of people that they had to physically put a thing in an envelope and address it and send it was astronomical. That was resources
somewhere else. I appreciate a lot of what was going on with that, but I understand why it stopped. That said, because Clues isn't here to complain about it, I would like to point out that it did get me a textless scripted command, which does whatever you want it to. No one knows.
As long as they're vaguely blue, be like, oh, okay, yeah.
Really? Kill target planeswalker? You're like, yeah. Yeah. How does it do that? Well, have you ever considered holding like Jace's head in a fish tank for 20 minutes? That's how you do it in blue.
This is where Clues goes. I have considered that, actually.
Yeah, don't actually do that.
No. It is worth pointing out that Lorwyn block, where the commands are from, it's where the
it's the first branding of Planeswalkers.
Yeah, it is the first branding of Planeswalkers. So
it was when they were all still rares.
Oh, the good old days.
Planeswalkers were rares for exactly that set.
But yeah, now there's more, and there's actually a Reddit thread here that Clues put in the show notes, and also Blake links in his what is this? The Daily Update. That's the word.
Yep.
And this is from Scary3074 on Reddit. And it says, WotC OP support change, a paradigm shift in OP. That's organized play, not, you know.
Not overpowered.
Not overpowered, because they don't print that anymore.
Yeah, it's done. Sorry, Marvel. You've had like three other games since then.
So this person says they want Standard Showdown to be the new competitive weekly event, and they want FNM to be the chill, just go and play thing that isn't so sharky. But that's currently not the case. So they're really hoping that this is one of the things that will push to make FNM slightly more casual and the Standard Showdowns slightly more competitive.
I mean, all the people that are complaining about not getting these expensive cards for their Standard deck, good. Go play the other thing. People who just want to show up and play FNM, good. Have fun. This is actually okay.
Yeah. So rather than read all this to you, go track it down and absorb it yourself. It'll make a lot more sense that way. But I just want you all, and obviously, these are falling on deaf ears because our listeners are clearly awesome. So they weren't the ones who immediately hopped on the internet and started, you know, torches and pitchforks after WotC's head, as if WotC was a person with only one head.
We know better.
Yeah.
There are several.
But still.
Hail Hydra.
Just cut off one head, another takes its place. But still, this is some critical thinking that will serve you well in life. Don't lash out with hate when something changes. And this happens everywhere. Everywhere. I saw, this is completely off the wall, but it's the same principle. I saw Christine Sprankle got a new hairstyle and lost followers because of it. I'm like, that's how stupid is that? How stupid is that? Like, you changed your hair. I don't care if it makes you happy. I don't like you anymore. What? What?
Did this actually happen?
Yeah. Yeah. She was talking about it on Twitter. I'm like, what? Or Facebook, both. I don't know. I was like, what?
That is hard to understand.
But it's because people fear change in any way. So, you know, whatever. Yeah. Think of all the hate that I got for not being Tom.
I mean, you're still not Tom. I checked.
he did, too. He was very thorough. It was awkward.
I stared at you, and then I squinted my eyes a little bit, and I'm like, no, no.
No.
Not Tom.
I'm a lot wider than Tom.
That is true.
And ginger-er.
Enhanced ginger flavor.
But just calm down. Think about it in a way that isn't just me, 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 me. And see how it affects the rest of the world.
Yeah. Also, whenever WotC does something, before you react in any way, pause and think, is this for me? Because if it's not, that's okay. Because I really think that's always the problem in all of these things. Like, not everything that they do is specifically for you. They do a ton of things so that they have something for everyone. But I think at this point, the horse is being raised by Nicol Bolas as a 4-4, so we should probably move on.
Wow, that horse would be amazing.
I mean, it's terrifying.
Dude, could you see, like, the Crested Sun Mare as an Eternal? Oh, I bet that art would be sick.
I bet it would make Clues uncomfortable.
Exactly. But anyway, so there, the three links relevant to this are the actual... Oh, wait, there's more. But there's the actual article, the Daily Update, where Blake goes, look, we kind of messed up at articulating exactly what we were going for here. And then the Reddit thread that spells things out in a way that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And
Blake even said, this is what we meant to do, but someone else did it for us because we're dumb. So, but there's more in this announcement. Standard Showdown is getting promo cards with Ixalan. You get the Standard Showdown booster prizes, which are the little 5-card things, and each one will have a foil promo land. And of course, they're Rebecca Guay.
I think it's Guay.
Rebecca Grew lands, and of course, everyone loses their mind over her art because it's good.
Yeah.
So let's see. And then we have the Magic Open House, which is the formerly launch party, formerly release event, formerly draft weekend.
Yeah, it's had a lot of names.
So now it's Magic Open House, and you can get the foil full art promo Exelon card. But it says, for Exelon, that means you'll get an Exelon card a week prior to the pre-release. Oh.
They've got to compete with, you know, Magic Online releasing cards before the pre-release by releasing more cards before the pre-release.
So wait,
making
now,
it the pre-release.
So they've moved it to a week before the pre-release instead of the week after the pre-release. Okay. Did we miss that in the initial announcement of Magic Open House? I think we might have.
I think I missed that because I would have made fun of it then.
Hmm. Okay, then.
So the whole concept of the pre-release is it's the first place that you can go to play with these new cards. Like, that's the point.
Yeah.
So doing things before that is silly, but here we are.
Well, I mean, you're not playing with it. You're just getting one. And admittedly, getting a card before even the pre-release is pretty cool.
No, it's neat. It's sort of reminding me of the fact that they're going to be having the next, like, fancy, crazy Magic limited set at HasCon, and then it's not going to come out for the rest of us till like, October. So they're just doing a whole lot of this before you thought it was going to happen stuff, which is sort of confusing to me from a scheduling standpoint, but I believe in their ability to get promo hype out of this, so
yeah,
roll with it.
And also, there's still league play, and they're still tweaking things and all that, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Go read all of these things. They're all very important. And just pause and think. That's all we ask. Just chill.
Yeah.
Everyone, what is it Dumbledore said? Everyone will please not panic.
Oh. Be excellent to one another.
Yeah. That was
party on, dude.
That was totally Dumbledore.
Yeah, that's what he said to the Minds of Moria.
He's like party on, Severus. Oh, that's awful. And apparently Star City crashed for me. Like, all of these Star City tabs had an error message. Whoops.
Did you not purge the playing video?
What? No, it didn't autoplay for me for some reason, so.
Oh, it says currently offline. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Is this a feature? Is this what people pay for?
Oh, wait a minute. There's a link also to the Standard Showdown booster contents, so there will be... two rare or mythic rare cards from a currently legal standard set. The one Hour of Devastation full art land. One foil premium. Common or uncommon from a currently legal standard set or an Hour of Devastation full art land. And then one foil rare or mythic from a currently legal standard set.
I have some rares and mythics, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yeah, one of them will be shiny. Everything will be shiny except for your other rare or mythics. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Also, there's a note here that Standard Showdown Hour of Devastation booster packs do not include double phase cards.
Which is a factual statement that is entirely true.
Wait. When did the last double phase card actually rotate out?
Rotate out?
Yeah, because it says currently legal standard set. They're not just from Hour of Devastation.
Oh, well, I mean, they haven't rotated yet, so yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's not... So we were picking on it during the odds and ends, but we...
Well, it's because it said Hour of Devastation. But yeah, it's because it's Standard Showdown : Hour of Devastation. They just only italicized part of it.
Right.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Because technically, Standard still has the Shadows of Renistrad block. So.
Right.
Yeah. Starting in the fall, the double face cards will rotate out. So.
That would be at that why point, I couldn't relevant. Remember how long ago they rotated out. It's because they haven't. Okay, good to know. We're all fine here. How are you? Okay, so now let's go to New Standard. You want to go to New Standard? Let's go to New Standard.
I hear there are cards in it. Some new ones.
So, the Star City tour was in Cincinnati. And apparently 485 people were playing in the open, which is pretty good. You know,
Cincinnati. States that in?
One of the four-letter ones.
Oh, yeah, you can't say that on Money and Magic. Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wait, something is auto-playing.
Is it Star City?
I don't know. I just heard the sound of a car starting, which that's got to be an ad, or something, but I don't see any ads. What? Okay, listeners, you heard that too. I'm very sorry. I have no idea what that was.
Ghosts.
Clearly. Damn, that's eerie. I guess if I hear it again, I can find out what tab it's in.
Yeah.
Anyway, all okay. Right.
So, new standard.
New standard. How many did I say? 485? 485.
485 for the first open and first, you know, large-scale tournament in the new set because it just came out.
Yay. So, wait. Yeah, this is the open. Okay, Michael Hamilton won, piloting a four-color control deck. What is this?
It is white plus bolus colors. So green is left out.
So, okay, it's got two creatures, a Torrential Gearhulk and a Linvala the Preserver.
If that's not control, I don't know what is.
Yeah, right. Then five Planeswalkers, two Dovin Bond, heavy control, a Jace Noir, that's Jace Unraveler of Secrets, Nahiri the Harbinger, and Nicol Bolas God Pharaoh. Because
well, Nahiri's got to get something.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and she can't get Imrakul, so,
Actually, she can't get him either. Artifact or creature card.
Whoops, we are the worst.
I mean, I call myself on it. I'm like, that seemed like a plan. That's not a plan.
That's not a plan at all. So, what is going on in this deck? Well, we've got lots of control-y cards. So, what's the triumvirate of control? It's card draw, permission, and murder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, like murder card advantage and something to finish them.
So we've got cards like all of these Star City tabs are just like perpetually loading.
Yeah.
And it's causing my auto card to be really slow. So
all right, mine are loaded. So
like they're all loaded. It's just sitting here spinning like all of them.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is pretty awful.
Okay. You want to start with the murder?
Okay. So with the murder, we've got cast out. That counts.
Yeah.
We've got a braid, which you will hear a lot about this episode.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, because it's shatter or lightning strike. Bam. Done.
Yeah.
Get them. Let's see here. There it was. There it was. It's this tab. There's not an ad on this tab.
I'm muted anyway.
Mute tab. Thank you, StarCityGames.com, for being a terrible website. Okay. We've got Blessed Alliance. That's some murder.
Yeah.
We've got Harness Lightning. That's murder.
Yeah.
Magma Spray.
Magma Spray is that special kind of murder that hides the body for you.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. We've got Radiant Flames and Fumigate for your mass murder. Wait, is that it?
In the main, yeah.
Yeah, that's it in the main. So, okay, how about some, I don't see it. Oh, here we go. Glimmer of Genius and Pull from Tomorrow.
For your card advantage?
For your card advantage. And then it looks like the rest is...
good old-fashioned counter spells.
Yeah, we've got Sensor, which is either card advantage or permission.
Yeah.
Essence Scatter, which is sort of murder and permission. We've got...
it's preemptive murder.
It's preemptive murder. We've got Negate, Supreme Will. Oh, I guess that's everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all the cards.
Bearing in mind, you've got Planeswalkers doing crap, too. So
yeah,
like,
let's not forget
the deck is running its engine.
Yeah. And then you've got lots of cards. Wandering Fumarole, of course, because you're a control deck and those colors. So, of course, you're playing Wandering Fumarole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems good.
Yeah.
And it won, so, you know.
That helps, too. And it's utilizing new cards.
Thank you.
And this is the first instance we've got of one of the defeat cycle appearing in a sideboard.
Yep, I just spotted that. Chandra's Defeat sitting right here in the board as a one of. That's pretty good. Oh, and Jace's Defeat. What?
Oh, it's down there. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
Its art wasn't loading.
Yeah, mine isn't either.
Good
job. This whole tab is boned. Seriously, Star City, what is up with the ads on your site? It's killing my browser.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. I would wager that Chandra's Defeat is there to deal with Glorybringer nonsense and occasionally Chandra, but I would wager its main job is to deal with Glorybringer or deal with a really aggressive red start.
What? Okay. I
suspect the Chandra Defeat will probably be one of the biggest ones out of that cycle by the end of the format, as long as red has any place anywhere.
Probably. What is Forsake the Worldly? I cannot remember this card, and I can't get it to the auto card to load or get.
Okay. So that's the two and a white instant that exiles an artifact or enchantment. It's like the white naturalized type effect, but you're exiling it and it has cycling two.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
So you, if they have it, great. You got rid of it. If you've already gotten rid of the one problem, get a new card.
Makes sense.
It's, if you need to remember the art, it's got the person hanging out under Thor's hammer.
Oh, hey, the auto card finally loaded just as you said that. Yes. Okay.
It was waiting for me to say Thor.
All right, then. So there you go. Can I close this tab now? Are we done with this four color control deck?
Yeah. Got plenty of other decks to talk about.
And this is a week one four color control deck. I can't wait to see how this gets tweaked.
Yeah. Control decks tend to be a little bit harder to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So they also tend to have a lot of options where you have to, like, the difference between I'm going to run an extra Essence Scatter versus an extra Negate grossly changes the strategy based on the meta. So it'll be fun to keep track of.
Hmm. Okay, so Jonathan Rosum, something like that, is running a white-blue monument deck, which, hang on, I'm muting all of these Star City tabs in case something terrible happens, because I've got several modern decks open in tabs. All right, so this is the Oketra's Monument. Yeah, this is the Oketra's Monument deck that we mentioned a week or three ago.
Yeah, the last time we had relevant standard events.
Yeah, which makes your white creature spells cost one less to cast, and whenever you cast a creature spell, you get a free 1/1 warrior with it. So you have cards like Bygone Bishop and Cloudblazer and Selfless Spirit and Spellqueller and Thraben Inspector, because all of those are even better when they come with a 1/1.
Yeah. And since you're getting the discount, like, your Selfless Spirit is a single mana 2/1 flyer that comes with a 1/1.
Not only a 1/1.
Combat trick.
Not only a 1/1, it's a 1/1 with vigilance. Let's not leave that part.
Yeah, that's very relevant. You're right.
And then we have the Henwyr Militia Captain, which is the one that transforms if you have four or more creatures. And since every creature you play is two creatures, it's probably going to transform. Just saying.
We can only hope.
So yeah, it's also running the Angel of Sanctions in the board, which I find hilarious.
Yeah.
Hey, there's the Nimble Obstructionist. Look at that. I thought that card would slot right into the Flash-style decks.
I mean, it's very good at it.
Yep. So yeah. The other cards are Stasis Slayer, Metallic Rebuke, and Dusk to Dawn, in case you're interested.
Yep.
Wow, destroy all creatures with power 3 or greater. Look at all of these little dudes in this deck.
Man. Yeah. The one-sided wrath is the best wrath.
It's like actually white weenie. I like it. So that's second place. Third place. Or you could not load the tab. Oh, for God's sake.
Bill, it's four-color emerge.
Could you take over for me while I argue with my browser? Actually, let me just close the browser.
Yeah. So it's four-color emerge by Zan Seed. Four-color emerge by Zan.
Oh, wait, I know this. It's like S-Y-E-D?
Yeah.
Yeah, his name pops up fairly frequently. I still have
it. It's a really cool name. I just wish I knew how to pronounce it.
Yeah. If you are Zan, then please contact us. Let us know.
First of all, you've got an awesome name. Second, tell us how to pronounce it. Because I really appreciate the efficiency and the vowel to consonant ratio. So that's pretty awesome. but yeah, the standout neat thing for this one for me. Like, first of all, this is four-color Emerge, so it's obviously running the Emerge mechanic from Shadows with your Eldrazi Octopus Elder Deep Fiend coming back. Remember that guy? Cost 8.
I do remember pretty that cool. Guy. He's pretty sick.
Because 8 is what they do when they have Octopus.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got a bunch of, like, you know, relevant old cards from that set. But the newbie that makes it interesting is the Champion of Wits, which is the Naga Wizard. and that's the one where it's 2 in a blue, 2/1. When Champion of Wits enters the battlefield, you may draw cards equal to its power. If you do, discard 2 cards. So you cast it the normal way, it's draw 2, discard 2. Neat. But it also has Eternalize for 5 blue-blue. And so if you can rock that, then suddenly it's draw 4, discard 2. And in this deck, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, math will tell you that's way better.
Especially when you're running Delirium Effect. And, you know, other cards with Eternalize. Like more copies of Champion of Wits. It kind of feeds on itself when you hit that mana threshold.
A little bit.
So it's neat seeing the interaction between this card and the cards from the other set. Also, if you wander over to its sideboard, you've got two copies of Bantu's Last Reckoning, which is the interesting Damnation variant. That's the one black destroy all creatures, land you control, don't untap during your next untap step.
Yep.
I don't think this deck cares.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, should be fine.
Look at it with its vessels and its grapples and its traverses. Wow.
Yeah. Also, the interaction of Champion of Wits with Prize Amalgam is pretty funny, because that's another way to have a creature enter the battlefield from the graveyard when you use Eternalize.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, it's not entering from the graveyard. It's just exiling. So never mind. That is wrong. I was excited for a second.
Oh, yeah. You exiling. I forgot. It's not the card itself. It's a token of the card.
People dig out the card and put the stupid thing on it, which, as Clues mentioned, is not actually what's happening. And it tripped me up for a second while I was visualizing it.
Sorry. Our bad.
At least you corrected it right now. You may save those tweets for something. Also, I just appreciate the fact that whenever you get split cards, they always just put the first half on the list. So under sideboard, there's one copy of Never.
Yeah, Star City doesn't do the full deck name or the card name on split cards. So
it's just funny because down here you have Bantu's Last Reckoning, Never. Good times.
Liliana, the Last Hope. Bantu's Last Reckoning, Never.
Never. All right, shall we move on to the next deck?
Yes, Steven Dykeman. No, wait, no, that's Patrick. Steven Dykeman playing Black-Green Energy with Dream Stealer. Oh.
Yeah. I have actually played with Dream Stealer. It's all the Spectre nonsense without the ability to fly. But in some ways, Menace can also be great.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine it's one of those things that's absolutely sick when you can, you know, back it up with removal. And hey, you can.
Yep, Fatal Push, Grasp of Darkness, and Obnixilis. Oh yeah, the Kool-Aid Man is back. Sorry. Oh yeah, the Kool-Aid Man is back.
Yeah.
And Liliana's Last Hope and Nissa, Voice of Zendikar are also in the deck.
Yeah, Nissa's ability to throw some tokens around, or the counters, might actually make that a lot more sick.
Very much so. So,
You've also got Winding Constrictor. You know, the deck's doing what it does, but with a Dream Stealer in there, it makes the Dream Stealer pretty disgusting. And then it eternalizes later,
which makes it super disgusting. It's also got two copies of Crook of Condemnation in the board.
Yeah.
You know, Beatstick. Because graveyards.
Yeah.
Presumably for the Delirium Emerge style decks.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah. Okay, then. Ben Weinberg, or Weinberg, whichever, is also running the White-Blue Monument deck. Pretty close to the same thing. Close enough for us to dodge over it. Okay, next. Yep. Sixth place. So one, this guy's name is Jonathan Job, so he gets points for that. Second, he's running mono-red aggro in standard.
Because Clues isn't here to do a dance, just assume he is somewhere.
Yep.
So, this is mono red aggro in standard. Been a while since we've gotten to say that.
Yeah, and it's just little aggressive dudes, and then like even the burn is just get those out of the way so I can hit you with my dudes. Magma Spray and Incendiary Flow, three of each. There's two copies of Chandra Torch of Defiance, because I would assume mainly card draw.
Presumably.
Yeah. And occasionally, you know, minus three to deal four to that to get it out of the way so that I can continue punching you in the face.
Yeah.
So, let's run through the list. We've got four copies of the On-Crop Crasher. That's the 3-2 with haste for three. You can exert it to make something not block. Okay.
Which could be pretty good if your removal is doing its job.
Yeah. We've got the Earthshaker Kenra. The one that, a 2-1 with haste for two. He's sensing a trend, and when it enters the battlefield, something can't block. This also has Eternalize for the late game.
Yeah.
The Eldrazi Obligator, a 3-1 with haste for 3. Are you seeing a trend? And if you don't remember, the Obligator is the thing that when you cast it, you can pay some extra mana to gain control of something until end of turn. Not threaten. What's it called now?
It's been called Threaten, it's been called Act of Treason, called all kinds of stuff.
That's the one. That's the new
version. It's the gimme that for a sec, okay, I'm sending it back to you, but tapped and hitting your face.
Yeah. You've got Falconwrath Gorger, the 2-1 for 1 Vampire Berserker that, gives your vampires madness.
This deck does not care.
Yeah, it's a 2-1 for 1. You've got Glorybringer. Again.
It's a good curve topper for this.
Haste and removal. You've got Reality Smasher. Trample and haste and hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Soul Scar Mage, which for a single red is a 1/2 with prowess. And it puts -1/-1 counters on, it makes you put -1/-1 counters on things instead of just dealing damage with your burn spells. So, that's good. Thought Not Seer, 4/4/4 that picks a card out of their hand. Huh. Hazoret the Fervent. So it's a 5/4 with haste, but it's also got the, can't attack or block unless you have one or fewer cards in hand. Did you notice there's no card draw in this deck?
I noticed there are cards that turn into violence.
Yeah. And then you can pay 2 and a red to discard a card to deal 2 damage to each opponent, which, oddly enough, works really well when you draw the second copy of that Falcon Wrath Gorger. But other than that, that's less important.
Yeah, when you're operating in the world of not having a lot of cards in hand, Chandra's ability to give you a card kind of for a little while is actually a little bit better than drawing a card in exactly that scenario.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about getting something stuck in your hand and then turning that off. So, pretty great.
And then you get Karizev Skyship Raider. Yup. The pirate.
Monkey pirate.
The legendary monkey. So, pretty great. This deck looks like it's week one, ridiculous aggro. Get in there and kill all the things. They won't be ready for you. And he finished sixth. Seems good.
I'm going to be curious to see if this deck, if it sticks around, if a braid gets swapped into the main. Right now there's two in the sideboard.
Wait, you fuzzed out if a what?
If a braid gets swapped into the main.
A braid.
The 3 damage target creature, destroy target artifact choice.
A braid. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, my brain heard if a space braid, and I'm like, I can't think of anything.
Braids. She's terrifying.
Yeah, I can't think of anything with braids in it that's
in standard.
Legal in standard. Sorry, a braid. Right, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two in the sideboard, so,
I'm just curious because, as we noted, you'll see more of it later, and I think it's really well positioned as long as there are artifacts running around at all. And maybe not expected immediately here. We'll see.
Yeah. You've also got, in the lands, you've got 15 mountains, which is a beautiful thing. 4 Ramunap Ruins, which adds colorless, or you pay life to add red, or pay some mana, sack a desert, deal 2 damage. That's really important in a deck like this.
Yeah.
You've got Sunscorched Desert, which just deals 1 damage to a player for free when it enters the battlefield. That's important in a deck like this. And then you've got Dunes of the Dead, one of those, which when it goes to the graveyard for any reason, you get it from the battlefield, you get a 2/2 zombie. And the Ramunap Ruin says, sacrifice a desert.
Yeah.
Get a free 2/2, have another source of colorless for the couple things that care about colorless, the Obligator and Reality Smasher and Thought Not Seer.
Yep.
These are all very important, and the synergy in the mana base just makes me happy.
I just like this deck.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the mix of fours and twos.
I don't see this deck lasting very long. Because this is very much, like I said, the week one, play aggro, blitz. But it might, and that would be awesome.
I would like it if we had that as a viable standard option.
That would
not be nice. That it has to be like, the top deck, but I'd like it if people show up once in a while in top 8 with them, just to keep the other decks honest.
Exactly. And then over in the sideboard, things get weird. So we've got another Glorybringer. We've got Hanwir Garrison. There are no Hanwir Battlements because we don't care. All we want is a 2/3/3 that when it attacks, you get 2 guys also attacking with it.
Yeah.
There's the Abrade. You've got Invigorated Rampage, which remember is 1 creature gets +4/+0 in trample, or 2 creatures get +2/+0 in trample. Seems good. And then you've got more copies of a few things and 2 copies of Sweltering Suns, which seems a little out of place. But I guess that can clear the way for just your big dudes to survive, I guess. Yeah.
Cool.
So there you go. This is, ordinarily when you have a Wrath, you would, hold back a couple of cards so after Wrath you can blah. But this is a deck that really wants to empty its hand. But I guess even so, it only really wants to empty its hand because of Hazoret, and you've only got the 1 copy. So you're not necessarily just emptying your hand. So it's fine. Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, really, you just want to prevent them from stabilizing, especially when you're running all of these non-creature sources of damage to finish them off. Like, if you can get to a certain damage point, then after that, cool. Now, while they're trying to recover, you burn or desert burn or whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Throw out a hasty dragon.
Woohoo! All right, well, let's keep going then. In seventh place, Adam Bowman is running Mono Black Zombies with... I don't think there's really anything new here, is there?
I don't recall seeing anything new in this one.
No, this is the straight-up Mono Black Zombies deck.
Yep.
So there you go. If it's
a second monocolor deck.
If it's not broken, why fix it? And then in eighth place, Jason Morgan is running Teemer Energy, which also has Champion of Wits.
Yep.
And let's see the rest. Oh, and a braid.
Yep.
Abrade. And it looks like that's about it.
And the board, you've got two copies of Hour of Devastation.
Oh, look at that. Sick.
That's a way to spend five mana.
So it's a fun way to spend five mana.
Yeah.
It's like everything die, damn it. Hurry up. I like it. So that's your top eight. Now, because it's the first week of Standard, we're going to keep going a bit here. Zach Allen in ninth place is running Teemer Control, which has Torrential Gearhulk. Oh, wow. Okay. Dynavolt Tower, a braid. Disallow Essence Scatter, Glimmer of Genius, Harness Lightning, Hieroglyphic Illumination. I remember that. Yeah, yeah. Magma Spray, Negate, Struggle. What is Struggle? The auto card isn't loading. Oh, is this a split
card? It's the Struggle to Survive card.
Struggle to Survive. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Struggle half of it is amazing. It's the instant, two in a red. Struggle deals damage to target creature equal to number of lands you control.
Yeah.
That scales like crazy. And the other half is like, sure, why not? It's the one where you...
Graveyard into library. Yeah, each yeah. player. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's also really good.
Yeah. It's really good in a deck like this, but like you're probably running it for the struggle half most of the time.
I mean, it's also really good against some of the things that are out there on in the meta too. So that's cool. We've got Supreme Will, Void Shatter, Attune with Aether, and Hour of Devastation. Damn. And then you've got Thing in the Ice in the board, along with Crook of Condemnation. Oh, and Tireless Trackers, and then more Silver Bullets and things.
Yeah.
And the Chandra Flamecaller, because reasons. So, yep, nice Teemer Control deck that's just incorporated a couple new cards. I like it. Seems good.
Yeah.
Esper Aggro. What?
Yeah, it's not running anything new.
Oh, it's this deck! Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not a new deck. It's just one that we haven't really seen in a bit.
It's the Flash deck that's got a little bit of black thrown in for Fatal Push and Scrap Heap Scrounger.
Yeah, it's still got Gideon trolling around in Heart of Kieran, as he does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, then, that's cool. Who was that? That was... Oh, come on. Damn it. Who was playing that?
Donovan Madacion.
Here we go. Donovan Madacion.
Look, if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to at least try to be classy.
Right. I like it. 11th place, Mardu Vehicles, Daniel Dwari. Is this... yep, this is totally Mardu Vehicles. Yep, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the single Chandra Torch of Defiance, Nahiri the Harbinger, and Sorin Grim Nemesis all hanging out in the board.
We're having a party.
They're like, sup, we can drive Heart of Kieran too.
Gideon's like, I can't hear you over the sound of your dad's engines.
Dylan Donegan in what place was that? 12th place is also running Mardu Vehicles. This one is roughly the same with an abrade in it. Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Well, okay, not roughly the same as the previous version. Oh, it is roughly the same as the previous version. Never mind.
But it's got two Doomfall in the board.
Yay. Doomfall's pretty cool. Wait. No, which one's Doomfall?
It's the choose one between target opponent exiles a creature, or target opponent reveals his or her hand, and you choose a non-land card and exile it. So one way or another, it's getting something.
Okay, yeah, Doomfall's pretty cool. I like it. Max Schiffman in 13th is... you want to open that browser? There we go. is running the blue-white monument again.
The Woo Monument.
The Woo Monument. That looks relatively the same.
Monument.
Dalton Copenhaver is running Green Red Pummeler. So this is the Pummeler Energy deck that looks pretty much the same for Abrade in the sideboard.
Yep.
Because Abrade is completely stupid.
Really good.
Yeah, when we were looking, so because on the mana pool, you know, we look at cards, you know, this week, and then the next week we look at more different cards. Sometimes there's a bit of a disconnect, and we were looking at that burn spell that's 3 damage for 3 mana, and Mike was like, I don't know why they didn't just reprint Lightning Strike. Well, that's because Abrade is a thing.
Yeah.
And we
that would
just
be really sad if they did that.
Yeah, if you had Lightning Strike and Abrade in a set, then there'd be a lot more red here, I think. Okay. Next, oh, come on, browser. I saw Grixis Control, and that's all I saw, and now it's not opening. It's not going back to the previous one. Come on, man. Oh, it opened. Okay. Grixis Control in 15th, piloted by Jungji Choi?
Sure.
Close enough. It's running Torrential Gearhulk, of course. Nicol Bolas God Pharaoh, because brah! And then lots and lots of the same cards that you've heard us mention in all of these others, including 2 copies of Abrade, 4 Supreme Will, and 2 Hour of Devastation.
In the main?
Yeah, that's the main. And your usual blue-red other cards that you would be running here.
Yep.
Yeah, it's only Grixis because Nicol Bolas. And possibly things in the board. Nope. Just Nicol Bolas. And another Nicol Bolas in the board.
Yeah, he's the only. Yeah. There's not even anything in the. Like, I was double checking the aftermath just to make sure, but yeah, he's the only thing that uses black in the stack.
Yep. So yeah, it's the blue red control deck with Nicol Bolas thrown in. Got it. Makes sense.
Yep.
And then, oh look, in 16th place, it's the blue red control deck piloted by Kenan Haas. Which, yep. Yeah.
Rocking Chandra Flamecaller instead of Bolas because don't need swamps.
Yeah. Another one of those cases where if it's not broken, don't fix it. Although he did put in Abrade and Hour of Devastation because, you know, they're amazing.
Because they make things broken.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I just glanced down at 19th and saw Mono Red Eldrazi. What? Oh, it's just a more mid-rangey version of... Okay, a much more mid-rangey version of that other Mono Red deck. So it's running the Obligator, Glorybringer, Hanwear Garrison... Oh, but it's also got Hanwear Battlements. What? 4 of each? Oh my god! Matter Reshaper, Reality Smasher, Thought Not Seer, Chandra Torch of Defiance. Your burn is, god, 4 Abrade, 2 Harness Lightning, 2 Magma Spray, 1 Incendiary Flow. Your mana base has Aether Hub, Desert of the Fervent, Endless Sands, Hanwear Battlements, Ramanop Ruins, and Seagate Wreckage. Whew!
The burn is most sick.
This is not as low to the ground and stupidly fast, but I think I might like this better.
I think it'd probably be more fun to play. Like, the sad thing is, when you're running the really aggro red decks, a lot of your creatures are fairly interchangeable because they're just there because they've got high power and low cost.
Yeah.
And they do stuff, and you play them properly, but they don't really have as many crazy blowouts unless you're just drawing completely on and you just go bomb, 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 in which case it doesn't matter which creatures you used.
Yeah.
Like, you just got the damage numbers through the end. This has a lot more personality to it.
Yeah.
Also, your land is killing them. Fun.
It's also got Akum Firebird in the board.
Goes with the dragon.
The Dragon Master Outcast, Sin Prodder.
That guy.
That makes me happy. Sky Sovereign Console Flagship and Sweltering Suns is also stuff that's in the board. Yeah, I think this deck is slightly more my style.
You remember Sin Prodder? He's back. Standard.
I freaking love Sin Prodder. So there's a lot more here. We're not gonna look at all of them. There's a Bant Spirits deck, a Green-White Tokens deck, Teemer Monsters. Okay, that I gotta look at. What does that mean?
I haven't thought about that in a while.
Oh my god. It means monsters as in big scary things.
Yeah, not the monstrous mechanic.
Well, obviously. But yeah.
They used to call the decks. Now that's just big stuff.
Yeah, Combustible Gear Hulk, Verdurous Gear Hulk, Altered Ego, huh. Champion of Wits, Glory Bringer, Rogue Refiner, Servant of the Conduit, Woodland Wanderer. Oh, there's Unsummon. I've been wondering where Unsummon was going to be. Because Unsummon is in Standard again, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was in, what's the name of the set? Hour of Devastation, right?
Yeah.
Surprised to have not seen more of it.
Where's their auto card thing? Didn't pull that up. It usually pulls the nose one.
It's showing the M13 version. That's why there's a pause here, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's in the set, because I've seen it.
Oh, hang on. There's one more I have to look at. 35th place, Todd Stevens, 5-color Planeswalkers. I bet there's there's Nicol Bolas. Okay, what is going on here? This is an energy deck, because the first things I see are Bristling Hydra, Long Tusk Cub, Whirler Virtuoso, but it's also running Glorybringer, because, you know, reasons. And then Chandra Flamecolor, one of those, 3 Torch of Defiance, double down on your Chandras, 1 Nahiri, 2 Nicol Bolas. Oh, and Oath of Nyssa. Nice. 4 Oath of Nyssa makes all things possible.
Between the 4 Oath of Nyssa and the, you know, power for your Aether Hub, I think you can make most of these things happen.
Yep. Seems good. Seems very good. So, okay. That's a nice little look at the top of the first Standard tournament. Of course, this will get refined, and we will see more things, and the format will be solved, and then the Pro Tour will happen, and they'll, you know, unsolve the format.
Then they'll solve it again, and then in 3 months, everything rotates, everything's over, Magic is done, and then you do new.
So, let's look at the smaller Standard tournament next. It's the Classic.
Yeah.
How many people were there? I'm afraid to click away from it.
Not a lot. It was 80.
Yeah. Jacob Tilk won, running Esper Aggro. Patrick Narsavage is in second with a blue-red control deck. Chris McCord in third with Mardu Vehicles. Billy Klopf in fourth with a blue-red Prowess deck. Ooh, let's look at that real quick. Yep. Soulscar Mage, Storm Chaser Mage. And then, what's Riddle Form? Because it's not popping up. That's the one that's got the really cool-looking Sphinx on it.
Riddle Form's 1 in a blue enchantment. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you may have Riddle Form become a 3/3 Sphinx creature with flying in addition to its other types until end of turn. And it also has, you know, enchantment motor creature. It's 2 in a blue, scry 1.
Right. It's just not popping up, so I couldn't recall exactly what it did. Lots of small, cheap cards, Fevered Visions, and small, cheap cards that do a thing, or get rid of a thing, or draw cards, or things like
crash that. Through.
Crash through, man. We called it on the mana pool.
Look at him crashing.
Yeah, for a single red, your sorcery. Your dudes get trample, draw a card. I was like, this is going to be a thing in Prowess decks. And hey, look, there it is. It's going to show up in Modern in a minute. Trust me on this.
I believe you, Joey.
Fifth place. I will not let you down. Fifth place, Jesse Hefner running Mardu Vehicles. Sixth place, Simon Stahl running Blue-Red Control. Jason Bennett in seventh running Mardu Vehicles. And Teamer Energy in eighth by Eric Lennartz. What's one of those? So, yeah. Anything else weird? Naya Gods. What?
I missed that one. Hold on.
Okay, we've got Gisela the Broken Blade. Sigarda Heron's Grace. Wait, we don't have the other half. We don't have Bruna. Aw, that's too bad. And then Hazaret. Why is this called that? Channeler Initiate, Glorybound Initiate. Those are good. Thraben Inspector, yep. Tireless Tracker, yep. And then it goes up. Gisela the Broken Blade, Hazaret the Fervent, Sigarda Heron's Grace. We've got Always Watching. That's pretty good. Cartouche of Solidaria, Blossoming Defense, Heaven to Earth. Heroic Intervention, Declaration in Stone, and Ronus's Last Stand.
Ronus's Last Stand is a card that cost my opponent multiple games at the pre-release. I don't know how I feel about that.
Did you have it?
No, he did. I had removal. And then he didn't have creatures.
Oh, okay. Because his stuff didn't untap, so
yeah.
You snowballed from there?
Yeah.
Gotcha. yeah, time walk yourself to get a 5-4 sounds good until your 5-4 goes whoop.
Well, his problem was that he wasn't doing it on turn two because it was limited.
There is also that, yeah.
It was really cheap later on, but like it was at a point in the game when I could just kill it. That said, I think it's an interesting card to rock and construct it because I can see that being the turn four play in a mono green deck of just dropping two of them.
Yeah. Also in the board, he's got Prowling Serpipard Solemnity, Samut, Voice of Descent, that's the creature, and then Samut the Tested, that's the Planeswalker.
Yeah.
So lots of fun stuff in the board. So, you know, there's that. Don't know why it's called Naya Gods, but...
I don't think that's the good name for it.
We'll call the Angels Gods too? Yeah, let's go with that. Anyway, alright, so let's go to Modern, shall we?
Let's do that, yeah. Because Modern has new card stuff too.
Yeah. Why are all of these in Standard? I thought I had the Modern decks open.
You want me to start?
I was confused. I could have sworn I had Modern...
Was it before you closed your browser and opened it again?
I don't know. Oh, well, we'll get to it. Or maybe I was on the wrong one and just thought I had new cards. I don't know.
Are you experiencing lost time? Were you abducted?
I might have been.
Are you sitting funny?
Always.
I'm proud of you.
Dude, I think I might have actually just been on the wrong one and convinced myself that it was Modern because, yeah, I'm dumb. Okay. That means Crash Through might not show up in Modern. I don't know. The winner, how many people were in this tournament there, Mr. Squeezer?
248 for Modern Classic.
248 for a Classic. That's good. So Josh Shields won with a blue-red Gift Storm deck. You know, the one that runs Electromancer and Barrel, Chief of Compliance, and then all of these cards that draw cards, and then, like, Grapeshot.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's cool. Nothing really to see here, though.
Yep.
And this tab didn't load, and now it loaded. I'm so confused about what's going on with my computer and Star City's website tonight.
It's trying to stop all the downloading, apparently.
I guess. Jack Comer in second place with Scapeshift. Good old Scapeshift. Yup.
Scapeshift continues to land well.
It lands very well. Ben Petrino in third place with 5-color Death Shadow. Okay, what's going on here? We've got Death Shadow, of course, Goblin Guide, ooh, Taylor Swift Spear, Street Wraith Tarmogoyf Wild Nacatl. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Boros Charm Lightning Bolt Might of Alara. Oh, okay, that's why. For a single green, that's +1/+1 for each basic land type. So it's potentially +5/+5, which is kind of nuts. Mutagenic Growth, Teemer Battle Rage, and Tribal Flames. Wow, it's just the Domain Zoo deck with Death Shadow thrown in. That's why I was confused. Got it. Making up new names. Okay, so that deck is awesome. Fourth place, Dylan Fraley is running Decepticons. Hey, I'm wearing my Decepticons t-shirt right now.
Are you sure it's a t-shirt and not a robot?
I mean, it's nice and soft and it's very old. I'm pretty sure if it was going to turn into a robot, it would have done so a long time ago.
That's probably okay then.
Yeah. So we've got, it's Affinity, so you know what to expect there.
Not Affinity.
Wait, is there... You're correct. There is no Affinity in this deck.
That's what I was expecting.
What about in the... Nope, not in the board either. Moving on. Zachary West in fifth place running Bant Eldrazi. Yep, okay. Nothing new here. There is the one worship in the sideboard, which I find hilarious beyond all reason. But moving on. Sixth place, Esper Gifts, piloted by Tyler Hedgewood. Oh, look at that. It's got Obsidat Ghost Council in it.
Obsidat.
And Iona Shield of Emeria and Elesh Norn. What? Oh,
sounds Goryeo's... Sounds like one of my ADH decks.
Goryeo's Vengeance. Okay, now I'm getting it. We're good now. Goryeo's Vengeance and Burial Rites. Yeah, all right. Things make sense again. But still... I don't know if we've seen this exactly before, but we've seen this sort of thing enough times to where... Yep, moving on. Seventh place is Burn. Goblin Guide. Taylor Swift's beer, Eidolon of the Great Revel, and then all the burn. This is the modern version of Legacy Burn. Yep. We've seen it before. It's still the same deck. It's still really hot. And then in eighth place, Maddie Russell running... this is Decepticons. No affinity to be seen. Although, it is running Throne of the God Pharaoh, which is really funny.
Yeah.
For those that don't remember, for 2 mana, it's a legendary artifact. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses life equal to the number of tapped creatures you control. Well, if you've attacked with your dudes and used Springleaf Drum, your creatures are all tapped. So it's just a little bit of extra damage every turn, which I think is really funny in a deck that's this aggressive.
Stamping on your face forever.
Nice.
What else? Ask your children.
They had to read it in high school. You know, if it was a good high school. We've got Merfolk in ninth. Yep. That's definitely Merfolk. There's something here I wanted to look at. White Red Prison?
The 11th place deck has a new card, if that's what you're looking for.
White Red Prison is definitely White Red Prison, yet. Gideon of the Trials is hanging out in there, trying to be funny. 11th place.
I mean, he's done jail time.
11th place is Bant Company.
Yep.
What is it running? Is it the, here it is, Ramunap Excavator. Whoo! That's really funny with the Knight of the Reliquary and all of its shenanigans.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dig out that ghost quarter again. Just for you, Chewie.
I hate you, Bill.
I would never do that.
Let's see.
But I can believe it is done.
Look at Robert Mania in 13th place. Mardu Control.
I already like his name and his colors.
Right? So, okay, it's got Nahiri the Harbinger. So you're in Modern. So you know there's Emrakul the Aeon's Torn. Yeah.
There better be.
Yeah, it's got Sorin Solemn Visitor. It's got Kalitas, Trader of Get, and then there's a zombie fish. Garmag Angler just hanging out. This isn't Legacy. What are you doing here?
Fish.
And then it's like it's beautiful. Because it's non-blue control. We've got Crackling Doom, one of my favorite card names and actual Mardu cards. Fatal Push, Culligan's Command, Lightning Bolt, Lightning Helix, Path to Exile, Terminate, Anger of the Gods, Dread Boar, Inquisition of Kozilek, Lingering Souls, Painful Truths, Thought Seize, Wrath of God. Oh, it's beautiful. Not a counterspell to be seen, and yet nothing's hitting the board. Just nothing.
Not staying.
And if it hits, it's not going to hang out for very long.
Yep.
Ah, it's beautiful. Moving on. Oh, wait, here we go. Counter Company. 16th, Zachary Harris. Is there anything interesting or more different going on here? Actually, it doesn't appear that there is.
I don't think there is.
Huh. Hey, look, there's a Scred Red that made top 32. It's in 22nd. Chris Lowe.
Yeah.
I have to point out Scred Red because it's running Koth of the Hammer. And I love Koth of the Hammer.
The Koth stands for Koth of the Hammer.
All right, then. So that's Modern.
Yeah. So I guess some of the cards that we thought were in there weren't actually in there yet due to weird site loading.
Because I'm a dumb.
Oh. Can you phone?
Not right now.
Recording
a podcast.
Don't try that.
I can't phone. I have the dumb.
Well, then I'll send help. But I will not call. Mike gets it. Mike doesn't listen. Moving on.
So, what is left? We've got the update. Oh yeah, all of the update stuff. The comp rules and Oracle changes. The comp rules is, I don't think there's anything big here. I think they're just cleaning up some things. I looked over them and didn't see anything that made me go, So yeah, they fixed a few things, they cleaned a few things up. They apparently,
some of this is related to group games.
Yeah, Arch Enemy had a big effect on the comp rules. Because there's several references to My Laughter Echoes, specifically. But, yep, okay, nothing to see there. And then the Oracle changes, they're all non-functional and rulesy, except for Kismet.
Because, yeah, that was a different...
Yeah, so Kismet, The Oracle text now says, artifacts, creatures, and lands your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped. And if you're shaking your head going, isn't that what it always said? That's why they changed it. Before, it actually said artifacts, creatures, and lands played by your opponents entered the battlefield tapped. So tokens and whatnot didn't.
And that's because tokens functioned differently before.
No, they're not played. They are... The spell is played that makes
them tokens.
They're not
played, but like for a bit in there, if you created a token, it had to say under someone's control. Whereas now the token was always theirs with no weird riders and nonsense attached to it. That was why the hunted creatures were strange. Right. I remember it being weird when they changed it, even though it never mattered, but it was like a clarification for those really weird corner cases.
All of that is completely irrelevant to this change. This change is purely because people were playing it as if everything entered the battlefield tapped. Because Frozen Aether, which is a Planar Chaos color shift of Kismet, actually was slightly functionally different. It just says, artifacts, creatures, and lands, your opponent's control, enter the battlefield tapped. So they've changed Kismet to be just like Frozen Aether because apparently that's just how people are playing it.
Yeah.
So let's make it match the way people play it, and let's make it match the slightly more modern version from Planar Chaos. So it does, and there you go.
Hooray.
Rather than have a color-shifted version be actually different, and have everyone have to stop and go, wait, that's not what this does, they just made it do that now.
Which I can respect.
Yeah. So there you go. If you want to read the ins and outs of that, then the update bulletin link is, of course, in the show notes. And that has a link to the comp rules change and the Oracle changes. There you go. Wow, is that it? Looks like it.
For the most part, yeah.
In-store play, showdown pack, all the update stuff. Yeah, let's go to Modo.
All right. Magic the Gathering online. So, as usual, the reminder is that most of the Magic news for Magic Online gets posted in the middle of the week, and since we record at the beginning of the week, a lot of my stuff is going to be dated. So, like, right here, I've got the weekly updates from last Tuesday. Most of the weekly updates from last Tuesday were, hey, check out the stuff that's coming up the weekend that's already happened. And also, look at us. We released Hour of Devastation. Isn't that awesome? We didn't even get anything banned this time. It's great. So that's what the bulk of that is. Now, what I do actually have in terms of note or news are the they updated the bug blog, which is important when you have a new set being added to it, because inevitably something's broken. So let's go down the funny things that are broken this time, because they've got a few. So first up...
This is always my favorite part.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. After filtering mana, you cannot use artifacts to improvise.
Isn't that how you improvise?
I mean, it's not improvising well, so yeah, that's just weird. That's just something that they messed up. So here's a more weird one. Dictative Erebos, Perilous Predicament, and Crackling Doom can cause both players to have to sacrifice creatures in rare circumstances. My favorite part about this note is it doesn't tell you what those circumstances are.
Well, yeah, if they spell it out too well, then I'm sure douchebags will be. No, because if you build the deck, then what? Huh.
Like, thing is, I don't understand what specifically links these three cards. So
say each opponent sacrifices a creature.
They do, but they do it differently. So like Dictative Erebos is each opponent sacrifices a creature, just straight up. Perilous Predicament is each opponent sacrifices an artifact creature and a non-artifact creature. So now it's adding qualifications to the sacrifice, which matters from the computer end of this. Crackling Doom has each opponent sacrifices a creature with the greatest power among creatures he or she controls. So normally when you have something that has an issue like this, they all have similar conditions, and that's why they're all listed together as having the same niche problem. Or otherwise it would just say some effects that cause sacrifice cause both players to sacrifice, and they wouldn't pick up these three cards. So I'm sure there's something weird going on in the background for these to be the ones they pulled out. But either way, I guess be aware that this nonsense is happening. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe this is something that they broke when they were playing around with Two-Headed Giant or something. But I don't know. They'll probably update us when it works again. I won't tell you because you need to go in here and look at the updates, because otherwise it would take even longer. But you're that. So, hey, you remember Koth of the Hammer that you were just talking about?
Dude, I love Koth of the Hammer that I was just talking about.
Excellent. When controlling the emblem of Koth of the Hammer you were just talking about, lands do not display the blue text they have. So Clues is happier.
What's the blue text?
So whenever you add an effect to a permanent, it puts it in blue. Like if you say, like, so-and-so now has the ability to tap and bounce something, that appears in blue on the card.
Right.
And so when you have the emblem for Koth, they have, you know, tap, deal one damage, target creature, player. And it's just not showing that text.
Oh, okay, got it.
Presumably they still work because it's just there so that you're aware of what your cards do. Like, that's the neat thing about Magic Online is it can just add to the cards directly. Right. So you know what they can do. It doesn't say that you can't, you know, right-click and choose to do that. So I think it's just a display issue. All right, so an Hour of Devastation God will still return to your hand if it's removed from the graveyard with its triggered ability on the stack. That's just a coding mistake.
Okay, wait, say that again?
All right, so an Hour of Devastation God will still return to your hand if it's removed from the graveyard with its triggered ability on the stack.
Huh.
So, like, the trigger's job is to say, hey, this guy's in the graveyard, so I'm going to put him back in your hand. And normally your opponent can go, well, I'm going to make you exile your graveyard, and then he's gone and he can't come back. But apparently they're just working anyway. So that's a mistake, and that will need to be fixed. Because, you know, that's the reason some of these cards exist, is to interrupt that kind of stuff. So there you have it. Nicol Bolas breaking the rules. Containment Priest exiles Theros gods even when their devotion isn't met. Now, as a reminder, back in Theros, the gods were not creatures unless you hit their devotion.
Right.
So Containment Priest wouldn't be able to do that while they're not creatures because it's if a non-token creature would enter the battlefield and it wasn't cast, exile it instead. Like, if they're just coming as an enchantment, this shouldn't happen.
Huh.
So, yeah. And if that's not enough, Containment Priest is also making another mess. So if Containment Priest and Elish Norn Grand Cenobite are both exhumed, how's that for niche? Elish Norn Grand Cenobite is exiled and her effect lasts indefinitely. For those of you who don't remember the pain of Elish Norn, the effects are other creatures you control get +2/+2, creatures your opponents control get -2/-2. So having that last indefinitely is disgusting. Yeah. All right, now let's add a weird feature. If you manifest a creature with Grafdigger's Cage in play, it will be exiled.
I don't think that's right.
No. So Grafdigger's Cage is creature cards can't enter the battlefield from graveyards to libraries. Players can't cast cards in graveyards to libraries. Well, manifesting with Grafdigger's Cage should not result in the card being exiled.
I don't think like, so. I'm almost that certain that's not right.
That doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, that's weird. Dude, I'm going to get the exact wording on manifest just to see how that might have happened. All right. Yeah, because manifest is the morph variant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't come up with any reason why that would happen at all. It doesn't do anything to do with your graveyard.
Well, I mean, Grafdigger's Cage says creature cards can't enter the battlefield from graveyards or libraries. So that's why. No one remembers the libraries part because
it didn't matter at the time.
Yeah, it's the graveyard part that's important, but apparently it thinks that that manifesting a card as a creature from the top of your library is casting is a creature coming. But why does it get exiled?
I don't know. Like, there's just a lot wrong with that.
Maybe it just goes, I don't know, go over there.
Well, it doesn't go here, and I can't put it back in the library, so I'm just going to drop it under the table and hope I don't get banned. Old topical. All right, now for some more weird general stuff. So lands that add a specific color to your mana pool to cast a particular creature type do not function correctly.
That's there you have it. Pretty funny.
That's pretty vague. The password reset link does not direct you to the correct page. That's just a screw-up, but I'm sure there's a way to fix it and work around that. Clicking play in a league, it will reset your card view to pile view. This is the most critical problem that has ever happened.
Look, I bet it's unnerving the first time it happens, though.
I'm sure it is.
You're like, wait, what?
They're not like leading with this. They know. It's like, well, that happened. But yeah, there you go. And then there's a giant list of things they fixed, which goes for a long way. So I'm not reading all those. But if you play Magic Online, you should be aware of what doesn't work. You should be aware of what's been fixed. You should really look at the bug blog. It comes out every few weeks. It'll be worth your time. Plus, occasionally you get funny things. I think my favorite one is still when one of your creatures attacks you, which has been caused by several glitches, and it's always funny.
Oh, good times.
Yeah. But that's what's going on in Magic Online. And yes, I checked the Tumblr this time.
Oh, good. So
I have to do that now. And yeah, I guess that's it for the Magic news. Go have fun with the new event.
Yay. So then, how about, I guess we're done then, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. So sign out stuff.
Sign out stuff. Okay. So, you can find me on Twitter at SqueegleLinabob. There's no Iron Goblin because Clue's kidnapped it and might be drowning it as we speak. But I hope not, because he likes me, to my knowledge. but yeah, so past that, I'll note that this past weekend I went to Raleigh SuperCon, which is a convention obviously in Raleigh. It was the first year of doing it here, but it's being run by the Florida SuperCon people, and they brought in a ton of guests, lots of crazy nonsense, got to see a lot of people just casually, like within a 15-minute period. I remember just sitting in the lobby and I saw Ernie Hudson, so Winston from Ghostbusters, checking in. And then after that, like Ric Flair walked by and everyone wooed at him. And I'm pretty sure he just rolled his eyes because he's been listening to that for the last 30 or 40 years. What's his name? I can't remember it now. Ship, the guy who was the Flash in the 90s and is now the Flash's dad. He just wandered by.
Wesley Michael?
Huh?
John Wesley Ship? Something like that.
Yeah, that's it. He looks so happy all the time. It's just nice. Like, it's like he's there. He's being really polite to all the people there. He's like shaking hands with stuff. He's just chilling. Like, you get that. And then, like, obviously when I walked into the celebrity area, like, you just see them all over. But it's more fun for me to see them wandering through the hotel and just doing other stuff. One of my friends had a drink with the voice actress for D.Va and didn't know who she was. And that was really funny, as is the way of voice actresses. And in general, it was a fun time. I recommend checking out conventions like that once in a while. Like, I'm not big on getting things signed, but it is fun to just have random celebrities walking around while you're hanging out. There's plenty of opportunities to do that. The next one of those I'll be going to is going to be Dragon Con in September. So as usual, I'll remind people, like, if you're going, let me know. It's a giant event. I'm probably not going to run into you if I don't know you're there, but if you tell me you are, we can hang out or something. It'll be neat. You can, you know, just tag me on Twitter if you're going and we'll work something out, because I do like meeting people. And since we haven't had like a Grand Prix in Charlotte in a while, I haven't seen a lot of people from the Magic community outside of Chewy. It'd be cool to hang out with other people too.
I'm Chewy.
You are. And I hang out with you recently.
Yay.
It was cool. So yeah, so that's pretty much, my nonsense for right now. Chewy, talk about Clues.
Clues wears bow ties. His wife is hot.
That is his epitaph, according to Chewy.
So, Clues wanted us to tell you that Random Discard is back in action. They have cleared out the backlog of not one, not two, but three shows. Three podcasts. And all of them are featured on the new randomdiscard.com, and they're also on NTGcast. I know, because I approved them. He says, please have a listen. Yay. Well, I approve everybody. So please have a listen. And if you have a topic you would like us to cover, drop us a line at randomdiscard on Twitter or randomdiscardcast@gmail.com. One of those was actually really cool. How do you spell card.com? They had Taryn Matharu. I think that's right. Who wrote the Summoner trilogy. So yeah, they had him on as a guest on episode 127. And then the previous two episodes, 125 and 126, were about animated Disney films. Because there's a lot, so.
There are definitely a lot.
Yeah, the first one was up to 1999, and the second one was from 2000 up to, I guess, Moana? I guess is where they stopped.
Yeah, I guess Moana's the most recent one.
Probably. So, yeah. That's pretty cool. in case anyone's interested in hearing more of Clues, or any of Clues, since he's not here this week, you can't hear any Clues at all would be more, right? Yeah.
I mean, by math, yes.
Yes, math, and that is hard. So that leaves so me. Numbers. You can find me anywhere on the internet that I am. It's The Manapool. Twitter at The Manapool, TheManapool.com, Facebook.com/TheManapool, YouTube.com/TheManapool, where, what's going on YouTube?
Zombies?
No, not yet. Still have a copyright claim on that, so it's not going
to... No, other zombies.
Oh, yeah, other zombies. So, okay. I finally finished Shovel Knight, dear listeners. I had two more episodes to go, and the first of those is up, where there was an unexpected boss rush, so much so that that's what I named the episode. I was going along through the level, and suddenly, here's all the bosses, you have to fight them all. I was like, what? 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 I finished the Tower of Doom, the Dungeons and Dragons Chronicles of Mystara arcade beat-em-up that I was doing with Jungle Rat Rob from the Retro League podcast. The last episode of that has gone up, and of course, I'm still putting up Left 4 Dead that we recorded way back in January. That's me and Squee, and Scott, my old roommate, and Squanto, my old buddy, playing Left 4 Dead, and, you know, getting mobbed by zombies.
Get in the truck.
Get in the truck, get on the train, get in the room, stop dying, don't run off by yourself.
Find safe room. Oh God, why is this happening to me? Oh no, where are you, Scott? What happened? Scott, come back.
Yeah. In this game where it's built around multiplayer play, and there are a lot of zombies that can completely immobilize you until someone else helps, Scott loves to just run off somewhere by himself.
Really does.
And when we yell at him, he's like, what? I'll be all right. And he always is. That's the bad part. Nothing bad ever happens when he runs off by himself.
No, what bad things happen are he runs off by himself and then we get swarmed by a bunch of crap and he's not there to help us.
Yeah, the one
time. It's like there's three of us, but it doesn't matter because like that'll be when one of us gets puked on and then suddenly there's a billion zombies and Scott's like, hey, what happened?
And, like, the one time that he didn't run off by himself, I went with him. We both got jumped on.
Yeah.
And these guys had to come back and help. And I'm like, come on, you guys. So, yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And, of course, us playing Left 4 Dead, it's not only about the playing Left 4 Dead, but it's about us interacting and having fun and goofing off with each other and all that. So
it's very representative of how we interact with each other, complete with not giving each other, you know, a lot of leeway when we do something stupid.
I can't tell you the number of times. So what the hell are you doing in this series?
For all of us, too. Like, all of us.
And then they yell it at me, and I go, oh, yeah.
Well, it was weird, because I was rewatching some of them on, because I can see it from your point of view now. I'm like, oh, that explains how you didn't know how that happened. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've done... So me and Scott and Bill did the first, No Mercy, the first campaign a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that went up a long time ago. Then
yeah, we did No Mercy for Halloween last year.
Right. And then we recorded a bunch in January, and they sort of got forgotten. And now they're going up. It's Crash Course was the DLC campaign that we did, and now I'm working on Death Toll. The first two episodes of Death Toll are up. So, to tell you how it goes, the name of Death Toll number 2 is Stop Drowning in Zombie Dicks. Because that is a thing that was said that made perfect sense at the time.
In context.
So, yeah, if you enjoy nerds yelling at each other and, you know, freaking out over zombies, then you should totally check out that series. It is a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed both recording it. I even really enjoy editing it.
I enjoy the fact that, like, aside from Squanto, none of us knew what we were doing. And because Squanto kept getting dropped by his internet connection, that meant our guide would occasionally disappear and be replaced by a very stupid robot.
Oh, that wasn't his internet connection. He kept getting up to do stuff.
Oh, well, that's even funnier then.
Yeah.
He abandoned us.
But he would always turn on auto Squanto when he had to jump up and walk away.
Yeah.
Whereas in a later episode that hasn't gone up yet, Scott didn't realize that you had to actually manually turn on your auto Scott. So Scott just walked away. He's like, hey guys, I'll be right back, and got up and left. And so his character just stood there.
Yep.
So yeah, that's a thing.
Check it out. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. The Mana Pool. And then, of course, there's twitch.tv/TheManaPool, where I live stream on occasion, not as often as I would like, because things keep happening to me. But, yeah, I've been playing Broforce lately through the actual story mode. And, dude, that game got weird in a hurry. Like, I played for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours the first time that I streamed it on, you know, Murica on the 4th. And I was like, oh, dude, I'm going to keep playing that. And I picked it up, and suddenly now I'm fighting Xenomorphs. I was like, what? Oh.
That's not very cool. Murica of you.
Well, I mean, they're aliens, right? And they're totally illegal, so it's totally Murica.
That's a sad story.
It is. It's very sad. But it's funny. So, yeah, it got really weird, and now I'm fighting aliens, and it's very weird. And horrible, huge alien monsters, and a boss that was so unfair that I was gonna throw the controller, but I got through, because I'm awesome. So yeah, none of that is gonna go up on YouTube, though, because I didn't record it. So it's just on Twitch. So, should check out Twitch if you'd like to see that sort of thing live. Tomorrow night, I will probably be streaming more Broforce, in fact. So Tuesday night, come check me out. Let's see, what else?
We're gonna do dumb nonsense whenever Doomfist comes out, right?
Oh, we're totally going to do dumb nonsense on Overwatch when Doomfist hits the regular servers.
Hits the everything?
Yeah. Right now, what Doomfist, does. The new character, is only on the PTR, but we're totally going to Doomfist once Doomfist comes out. And we're going to stream it, and it's going to be awesome. We're getting the band back together. We're going to grab Cap. It's going to be great. Yay! But anyway, so...
Hooray.
I guess we're done now.
Think so.
Yeah, so... You can find me in all those places. And if you want to help support what I do in any way, you can do things like listen to the show. Hey, look, you're already helping. Thank you so much. Spread the word about any of this stuff. Go watch YouTube videos. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's a big help. Go check out the Twitch streams. And if you are so inclined during a stream, you can hit the follow button to add to the follower number. You can throw bits at me, which is like a tip. You can throw money at me, which is a tip. You can subscribe on Twitch, which is $5 a month. It's a way to show support for a streamer, all those ways. And if you want to be much more direct, you can just go to patreon.com/themanapool and throw some money at me there.
Food pellets.
Food pellets. You can get all the Manapool episodes and YouTube videos early. Or you can get that and get the odds and ends, all the stuff that's recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool that's uncensored and unfiltered and us talking about whatever nerdy things we're doing in life and our own personal lives and figuring out what's going to be on each show and making fun of each other in ways that we're not allowed to on this show because there is no swearing on Monday Night Magic and things like that. And if you'd like, you can get all of that. And get your name on the end screen for every video that goes up during each month that you support at that tier. As always, all of that is completely optional. You still get all the YouTube videos and podcasts completely free. I don't want to have real content behind a paywall. The odds and ends is not real content. Trust me. It's just us being goobers. And swearing at each other.
In front of a pre-recorded studio audience.
If I had a laugh track, I would have put it in right there, but I don't have that sound, so I don't.
Well, use your imagination.
The power of imagination. Anyway, we're going to go now because we've been doing this for far too long. So, thank you as always to Squee for joining me.
Yay, I'm here.
You totally are. Thank you very much, Clues, for being in an island paradise scuba diving.
Someone has to.
Instead of being here with us. I guess. And thank you all so very much for listening. And go play some magic.